Welcome back to the podcast Against All Gods. Today is episode 5. We're looking at the 10 plagues in Exodus, and so we're at plague number 5. I want to welcome you on board. My name is Todd, one of the pastors at First Family, and I want us to look a little more closely at this plague. It's found in Exodus chapter 9, the first 7 verses, and it deals with the death of the livestock in Egypt. And again, on this one, there is a boundary drawn. Egypt loses all of its animals. Israel does not. And we are at the midpoint of the first cycle of plagues. This is plague number 5. And in one sense, things are now escalating. Let me explain what I mean. The first 4 plagues, they were, in one sense, warnings. And here's what I mean by that. Yes, they were costly, disruptive, they were humiliating. But in one way, they were ultimately either reversible or they would end. The river cleared, the frogs died, the gnats did disperse, the flies left. There was some remnants, but you could rebuild from those things possibly. But plague 5 does not reverse in any way. The animals do not come back to life. What they lost was for good. And this death toll in Exodus 9, it's very comprehensive when it comes to the livestock. Horses, donkeys, camels, cattle, flocks of sheep and goats, every major category of Egyptian livestock. And so the economic and military implications are very staggering here. I mean, consider this, that horses and chariots were the core of the Egyptian military power. So animals were necessary. Economically, the same thing is true. Food supply, the meat supply, all these things, they were very important. Militarily, again, Egypt's strategic advantage over its enemies was probably due many times to its chariots. It'd be the ancient equivalent of an armored division, so to speak. And the camels, think about this economically. They carried trade goods across desert routes. Cattle provided agricultural labor. They'd pull the plows. They were for dairy. They were for their sacrifice, though, to little g gods. And of course, the sheep and the goats were probably the ordinary currency of everyday Egyptian life. And so this was a devastating, widespread plague that affected both their military and their economy. Now, archaeological work in the eastern Nile Delta has confirmed the extraordinary scale of Egypt's cattle industry during this period. So this was not a subsistence economy. This was, for that day and age, a very sophisticated, export-oriented agricultural civilization. And watch this. In a single day, its living foundation collapses. This is very similar to the Nile. And while it did end and the water returned to its normality, so to speak, this attacks a very fundamental support and source of their economy and living system. Meanwhile, while all that's happening, the Israelites and their animals, they are untouched. In fact, Pharaoh sends to verify this. And the passage in the Bible, the text here, tells us that he finds out it's true. Every Israelite animal is alive. And Pharaoh's response is a more hardened heart. Now, this plague attacks 3 deities simultaneously, which is interesting because you would think perhaps 3 gods going down, so to speak, to Yahweh. It might be a wake-up call for Pharaoh, but it isn't. Here are those 3 deities that are attacked simultaneously and in one day defeated. Apis, which is the god of the bull. I think it actually is a bull, at least symbolized that way. Perhaps the most prominent of all the Egyptian sacred animals was the bull. And of course, the bull then was worshipped as a manifestation of the god Ptah and later of Osiris, which I mentioned earlier. Apis, the bull, was housed in a magnificent temple at Memphis. It was tended to by the priests, consulted as an oracle or as a means of communication, and often the death of this bull was a national catastrophe. Sounds crazy, I know. But welcome to false worship, right? The second deity attacked was the cow goddess Hathor. This was the deity of love, of beauty, of music, motherhood. You may have seen this depicted with a cow's horns or in a bovine form. In fact, she was among the most widely worshipped goddesses in all of Egypt. And then the third deity attacked, Nevis. This was another sacred bull, this one associated with the sun god Ra in Heliopolis. And so these three deities, Apis, Hathor, and Nevis, these were the three Egyptian gods and goddesses that were really venerated divine animals. They were all dead in one plague, one day. Now, again, I want to show you the deeper theological emphasis here, and that is that this is a covenantal moment. God is holding true to his promises made, yes, in his covenant with Abraham, and even in the covenant with his people later through Moses, found in Deuteronomy 28, these blessings and cursings, he's holding true to that. He's promised to bless his people, and often in these blessings and cursings, he mentions a livestock and how there will be an increase of those and a protection of those. But if those people reject God, if they wander into false worship, the worship of idols, then they would see a cursing, and often it was the reduction of their livestock. It was the killing of their means of a great military or even of a great economy. I'd keep in mind this as well, that Genesis 12:3, which is the initial covenant with Abraham, says there that God will bless those who bless you, and the one who dishonors you, God said he will curse them. Well, here we're finding this same covenant practice, that Egypt has dishonored Israel for 400 years. This went on, their slavery, their oppression. And now this livestock plague, I believe, is the covenant action. It's the covenant doing exactly what God said it would do. He's now dishonoring, he's now cursing these Egyptians for their dishonoring and cursing of his people. And I think even in this moment when they're watching this happen in Goshen as an Israelite, they're realizing how important their livestock is. And so when they leave the land later and when they hear about the blessings and cursings, and Moses reminds them, what you saw in Egypt, you will see among us if we wander from God and worship false gods. I think they remembered back to this plague and realized how crucial their livestock is to their economy, to their military, to their travel, to their food, to their whole system of living. So it was a moment in which God really held true, of course, to his covenant promise. And Israel is watching every single bit of this. A modern application would be this, and I want us to think long about this, think hard about this, that often economic devastation, it has a way of exposing what we actually believe about God, about how our needs are met, about who we trust. Again, it has some similarities to the Nile in some ways. You see, in moments of prosperity, it's possible to actually sustain the comfortable illusion or to give the impression, you know, that we trust, that we believe, because there's nothing really at risk. We know we actually think we're the architects of our own security, but we would never admit that. We know that we're really trusting our portfolios, our industries, our infrastructure. We think that's really how we're controlling things, improving our competence. But when all of that is destroyed, even in a day, when the death of the economy, or can I say this, the death of our quote-unquote livestock occurs quickly and suddenly, it really does reveal what we actually believe. You see, the animals that pulled Egypt's plows, carried its armies, populated its temples, they weren't just economic assets. They were, in a real sense, they were Egypt's deities. They were Egypt's theology in visible form. They were the things Egypt actually trusted in. It's how they received divine provision in their minds. It's how all of their things were mediated through these false deities. But Yahweh removed them. So he wasn't just attacking their economy. He was attacking and dismantling the theology underneath that economy. This is what Christ sees. Especially sudden ones of things that we trust, this is what crises do. They reveal what we actually believe. So economic downturn can have a prophetic moment because in that moment it reveals who we actually are, what we actually trust, what we actually believe. And so I would say this to us, material loss It's a diagnostic moment for our spiritual condition. It's not always punishment. I don't want to say that. But when economic loss, when things occur that create a lot of economic unrest, when there's sudden and momentous disruption, it may not be punishment, but it's worth asking the question at that moment, what does this reveal about who I really trust? Well, as this plague ends, of course, Pharaoh verifies the miracle. He sees the evidence with his own eyes. And what does he do now again? I know you're tired of hearing this, but he hardens his heart. And so can we just agree together that this is undoubtedly tragic by now? I mean, we're five plagues in. Every religious expert, every magician there in Egypt has either been silenced, humiliated, or they've come to admit this is the finger of God. This is the work of Yahweh. Even when the economic foundation began to crack. And yet, what does Pharaoh do? He hardens his heart. Again, revealing what we've seen time and time again. Judgment may not create hardness. It often simply reveals it. Well, on the next episode, a plague that becomes very personal. In fact, so personal that it gets under the skin, literally. I'll see you on that episode.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.